chance to see what it's like. Okay. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking to a group of people, and he's beginning to kind of to get into things a little bit. And in verse 10, he says one of the most extraordinary things in all of Scripture. He says, look, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have life abundantly, right? All right, so in order to illustrate what this life looks like, because this is a really interesting thing, right? What does Jesus mean by life? What does he mean by abundant life, this full life? What is this life that he comes to offer? So I want to give you a cool illustration, and we're going to use Luke chapter 5 as part of that illustration. And I think one of the neatest things that we can do is just kind of think about the idea of going fishing, right? So who here has been fishing, right? Now, how many of you guys have ever gone out fishing and not caught a darn thing the whole time? Yeah. So, Eric, how did it make you feel when you went out fishing all day and didn't catch anything? You were frustrated, right? That could be a super frustrating experience. You're going out to go fishing. Now, I want to explain to you a little bit about what fishing is like in Alaska. It's a little different. We don't call it fishing, actually. We call it catching. And you guys have probably heard some stories and things like that. Well, I'm gonna share a quick little story about me on the Copper River. So the Copper River is just an amazing river that kind of comes down and it ends up in Prince William Sound. And I got a chance to go fishing with my brother-in-law. And we actually use nets because when you're an Alaskan resident, you can actually take nets and put them in the water to catch the fish. And we went down to this little place, and this guy had it set up where he had a boat, and he took us along the river, and he dropped us off on this little rock on this river. And when I stood on the rock, I looked behind me, and there's a mountain going straight up to I don't even know how far. And then across on the other side of the river is a mountain that goes straight up. And the Copper River is pretty much really fast right through there because it's this narrow gorge. And the narrow gorge speeds the river up to incredible speeds. And we were kind of like right on the edge of civilization. And so basically, if you were to fall in the water, they would probably never find you. So in other words, falling in the river is no longer just a matter of I got my clothes wet. Now it's a matter of you're going to die. You will not survive. Between the coldness of the water and the length of that gorge, the fact that there was no civilization at all for miles and miles and miles down the river. So as you're out there with the dip net, one of the things you have to do is you tie it around your a rope around your waist or a harness, and you go out there and you put the net in the water, and the current starts to grab it, and you're just holding it, and you just wait. And I'm waiting there with this net. Now, this is not like a small net. This is not the kind of net that you think of where it's like about this big. This is a net that is 5 feet in diameter. It is a humongous net, and it's got a 10-foot handle on it. So I'm taking this huge net, and I'm putting it in the water, and the current's kind of dragging a little bit, and I got this thing, and all of a sudden, we get a fish. You can feel it. You can feel it in the net. It's kind of river. So you have to twist the net and pull it up, and you just start pulling in these fish. And as soon as you get the fish, the salmon are about this size. We were catching what we call red salmon or sockeye salmon, as the native Alaskans call it. And so the salmon's about this big, and it's pretty strong. So we have these bats, and you have to whack the fish in the head. You just, bam, get that thing. And then all of a sudden, the fish just kind of does this a little bit, and then you string them up and put them in the water, and you just keep going. And my brother-in-law and I did it together. We started at 6 p.m., and we fished until 6 a.m. We caught 75 salmon in one night. It was an incredible experience. We go back to chapter 5, verse 1. We're about ready to find out what happened to poor old Peter. For those of you that don't know Peter, he's a fisherman. His father was a fisherman. His father's father was a fisherman. It was their family business, and they were darn good at it. That was how they made their livelihood. You catch fish, you get a chance to feed your family. You don't catch fish, not going to happen. Not going to happen. So, once there was Jesus, he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, which is also the Lake Galilee. The crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. And he got kind of crowded at the seashore. See, everywhere Jesus went, there was tons of people. They wanted to be around Jesus. There was something about this guy that they just absolutely loved. There was something about him. Maybe it was that life that he was talking about in John 10. So they're all with him. They're trying to hear. It's getting a little crowded on the beach. So Jesus turns around, and here's the fishermen. The fishermen had just come in. They'd come in, and they work all night. And the reason why they worked at night is because it got cool enough where the fish would come towards the surface. During the day, it was too hot, and they'd go down deep. But in the evenings, they would come up. And so they'd go out there with their boats, and they would use these nets to catch the fish, and they would bring them in. Well, they had been fishing all night, and now they're back at the docks, and they're working on cleaning the nets. So Jesus looked over and noticed a couple boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them, and they were now scrubbing their nets. So now they're cleaning their nets. They're out of the boat. So he climbed on one of the boats that belonged to Simon, and he asked them to kind of put out from shore a little bit. All right, just imagine this. You're Peter. You went out, you fished all night, and according to the story, he caught nothing. And now he's got to clean his nets. So frustrating. Stupid net, didn't catch any fish today. I mean, he is just not happy. He is tired. He is grumpy. And then there's this guy, Jesus, who has the audacity to say, hey, can I stand in your boat for a few minutes? Can you see him now? He's like, yeah, uh-huh. Go for it. It's not catching fish anyway. So Jesus gets on the boat, and he's talking to all these people. Now he's got room. Now he can back up a little bit. Now he can see everybody. And he's telling them something. I wonder, in your mind, what do you think that Jesus is telling these people? It's just an incredible thing to wonder. My guess is that he's telling them how much God loves them. So, it says here, he used the boat for a pulpit for a bit while he taught the crowd. And when he finished teaching, he looked over at Peter and he said, hey, put out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Peter's probably like, right. Listen, buddy, you're a carpenter, okay? I know you can make some seriously good tables and chairs and stuff, but why don't you leave the fishing to the experts, because I know that you don't go fishing during the day. In fact, every fisherman knows it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Jesus. I can't even believe he's asking that question. Just imagine that awkward silence where Peter is staring at Jesus after Jesus just asked this question. You know, I mean, he's scrubbing his net. Hey, let's put out your boat for a little bit and go fishing. And then he's looking at his buddies like, is he serious? Really? And all of a sudden, as Jesus is looking at him in that awkward silence, something interesting. Peter responds in a way that not a normal human being would respond. Because there's something about Jesus. People just wanted to be around him. Whether it was the look that Jesus had or maybe a conversation he had with Jesus earlier, I don't know what it was. But something in Peter came out and he said, hey, look, Master, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught a darn minnow. But if you say so, let's go do it. So now Jesus is inviting Peter to do something that's really dumb. At least dumb according to our our human perspective, right? This is really dumb. You don't go fishing during the day. There's no reason to do that. We're about ready to catch nothing again. And by the way, I just finished cleaning the darn net. So now I'm going to have to do it again. But I don't know. There's something about this guy. I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to go for it. I don't know why. It doesn't even make sense, but I'm just going to do it. So they take him out. Goes fishing with Jesus. No sooner than they had the nets in the water than a huge haul of fish straining the nets past their capacity. They actually waved to their partners in the other boat to come help them. They filled both of their boats, nearly swamping them with fish. Okay, hold on a minute. This is unreal. I mean, what? He's out there. He's like, throw the nets back in the water. I just clean these things. Okay, here we go. And all of a sudden, it's like, what? Whoa, where are all these things coming from? And then all of a sudden, like, they can't even pull the net in. There's so many fish. Come on, guys, get over here. They're calling the guys over, and they bring the other boat. They fill both of these boats up to the brim with fish. This is amazing. This doesn't happen, right? I mean, this is like, unbelievable. This doesn't even seem real. And Peter is going, what the heck? I don't know what's going on. And then it says that Simon Peter, when he saw what happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus. Right? The boat is filled with fish. He kneels down, and fish are like smacking him on the face and stuff. And he's just like, God, go away from me. What's the main thing you think he's feeling? Go away from me because I am a sinful man. Oh. Maybe he's thinking Jesus wouldn't like him. Maybe he's afraid that Jesus wouldn't like him because, you know, he is, after all, a sailor. Maybe he's got a bad mouth. Maybe he doesn't treat his wife and kids the way they should be treated. Maybe he hasn't shown up to the old synagogue every time that he should have. Maybe he didn't memorize the Old Testament like some of the other people had. For some reason or another, he's so scared that he tells Jesus that don't even be around me. You wouldn't want to be around me. How many times do we do that with God? How many times do we tell God, go away, you don't want me. I'm not worth it. But look at the way Jesus responds to Peter in his fear. Leave me alone. But when they pulled in that catch of fish, the awe overwhelmed Simon, and everyone was with him. And it was the same thing with James and John and the co-workers. And Jesus looked at Peter, and he said, hey, there, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching people. Then they pulled their boats up onto the beach. They left them, nets and all, and followed them. Right. So guess what? Peter got a chance to see a little bit more about what Jesus was like. And it scared him. You can't control that kind of God. That's kind of like, oh my gosh. That's going to throw my whole life out of whack kind of God. And Jesus is like, yeah, sure is, buddy. Come on. Don't be afraid. Every single time that you guys start to think, every time that I start to think, man, I'm just so scared. We got to remember, we got to put ourselves in this situation, get back in that boat, and listen to Jesus tell you, don't be afraid. Life's getting out of control right now for Peter. I mean, is out of control. He's out catching fish during the day, and not only so, but his boat's sinking. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is almost too much. God can be too much for us sometimes. Don't be afraid. So, here's one of the craziest things ever. They get back to shore, and Jesus gives him a new vision for life. Peter, now you're not going to be fishing for fish anymore. But I'm inviting you into a new life. God invites us into a new life. God desires for us to have that new life. He says, look, don't be afraid. Come with me. Be with me. Your life will never be the same. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe that? Are we too afraid? Do we feel like maybe it's not worth it? Are we afraid that God won't want us? Are we afraid that we're not good enough? Do we want to have a God that we can control and manipulate? Because we all have that. We all try to play God. The Bible calls it sin. You know, Paul calls it the flesh. Some writers call it the false self. You all have, and I have this too, this desire to keep God kind of at a distance and control what we call God, and we don't let the real God in. And the main reason we do it is because we're afraid. And it's hard. It can be really hard sometimes, especially when big stuff happens, when God reveals himself in a new way, and you get to see a little bit more about maybe the power of God. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's just some of the suffering and pain that you see and have experienced firsthand. And we become afraid. And when we're little, we all have a painful experience that happens to us. That painful experience, we begin to set up defensive mechanisms. We don't want anybody hurting us again. And so we keep God at a distance too. Peter is asked by Jesus to follow him. This is the craziest part of the story. It says that when they got back to the beach, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. What? I guarantee you, when I was out with my brother-in-law and we caught those 75 salmon, we're not leaving that. No, I just worked all night for that thing. That's how I'm going to feed my family for the next year. We ended up with 150 fillets of salmon, fresh Alaskan salmon. I mean, I don't even know how much, that's like thousands of dollars worth. I'm not leaving that. I'm taking it. That's what I went there for. This is Peter's business. He just hit the jackpot. I mean, can you see him, like, coming back to the shore, ching, 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 you know, like, this is going to be awesome. It's okay. If I don't catch anything for the next couple of months, I'm going to be set. It's going to be great. But there was something about Jesus when he said, yeah, don't worry, you're not going to be a fisher of fish anymore, but now you're going to be a fisher of men. And when they got back, they left their nets, their boats, they left their parents, their friends, their cousins, their children. They left. Oh, how do you end up getting to the point where the best day of your life is nothing compared to being with Jesus? I don't know, but I like that a lot. I want to invite y'all to go fishing. I want to invite y'all to go fishing because that's what Jesus is inviting you to. He's inviting you to go out and to fish. And when you go fishing with him, if you go fishing with him, your life will never be the same. It just won't. Because you're going to find Jesus better than the best day you ever had in your life. What does that life look like? According to Robert Mulholland, it says it's a radical abandonment of our false self, ourselves that exist apart from God. In other words, we leave our old life and we try to enter into this new life. This is found all throughout Scripture. Jesus says this in all four Gospels. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's Matthew 10, 39. In Mark 8, 35, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. Luke 9, 24, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And John 12, 25, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. There's this idea of abandoning and losing your life. Where have we heard that before? What's the main thing? Oh, yeah, the cross. Oh, yeah. Jesus gave up his life for us. God gives up his life. And this giving of life, this giving up and gaining it, it's who God is. God asks us to give up our life so that we might gain it. What does giving up our life mean? It means giving up our hopes and our dreams. It means giving up our families and our kids. It means giving up everything. That doesn't mean you need to pack up and head off to Africa or Alaska, which is probably worse. What this means is that you need to leave your fearful self behind by putting something else in. You don't just stop being a certain way and try to be another way. That's not what Peter did. All Peter did was hang out with Jesus, and his life was changed. Everything about him changed. That's what happens to us. All we have to do is invest some time. Think about the greatest commandments in Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus replied, he was asked the question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" He says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on those two commandments." Oh. This is where we get into what God wants. God wants us to be with Jesus and with others. You can't love someone unless you're with them. This is not about changing a behavior code. This is about a transformed life. When you say, "Okay, I'm going to go fishing with Jesus," you take some big risks. You have no idea what's going to happen. But if you know who you're with, it makes all the difference. When I have some of my good buddies with me, I had three friends come and visit me. I turned 50. It was amazing. My wife surprised me by sending three of my good buddies to be with me for a week. Best present I ever had in my life. I hadn't seen them in 6 years. And we got that together. It was like no time had done anything. And those three guys are crazy, just like me. And we went and did crazy stuff. And we had such a blast. I wouldn't dare do half of the things we did unless we were together. I just wouldn't. There's no way. But when I'm with them, I feel like I can do almost anything. And that's the same way it is with Jesus. Because I can trust him. Oh, I'm still learning it. It's a lifelong process learning to trust in this guy. And here's how you do it. Be with Jesus. Get some time of solitude and silence and be with him. Oh, just being with Jesus. At first, I kind of stumbled through it all, but eventually, as I got to be, just like being with any new friend, it's kind of awkward at first. Eventually, you kind of run out of the surface level stuff to talk about, and kind of, but eventually, you become good friends. You begin to open up with each other. You begin to learn to trust each other, and then you share some of the deepest, sweetest things in life. You share some of the hardest sufferings, and you begin to develop that bond where you're like, "Yeah, I'm never ever want to be apart from you." That's what happens when you get married, by the way. When you get married, you just get this awesome friend to be with. Get some solitude and silence with Jesus. Read through the scriptures. The scriptures reveal who he is. The scriptures are powerful. The scriptures actually do some cool stuff when you read it. God does stuff. Think about this. How was the world created? God simply said something, and boom. God's word is actually performative. When he says it, things happen. Oh, it's so great. It is so wonderful. But also, love the Lord your God, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And who's your neighbor? Wiesbaden is your neighbor, right? Whoever lives in your neighborhood, this congregation, your church is your neighbor. How do we love our neighbor? By being with them. We sacrifice whenever we decide to be with Jesus because we could be doing other things, but the sacrifice is so worth it. We sacrifice when we want to be with others because then we're not with some others or we're not getting some time just to do what we want to do, but the sacrifice is so worth it. It is awesome. Be willing to put out in the deep water with Jesus. Peter was willing to actually get out of the boat and walk on the water with him as well. Be open to what God has for you. Find a place to be involved in your church. God made you special. The old VeggieTales TV show says, but it's so true. It really is. Without you guys here, it's not as good. We're not as good without you. We are not as good without Natalie. We are not as good without Terry. We're better together. Every single person was made uniquely and individually and specially by God. And if you are not involved in what this church is doing, then this church is suffering because we miss what God has through you. I don't know many of you, but I do know this, that God made you. And God made you in an amazing way. And you have to learn how to trust that. You have to learn how to let go of your fear and get involved. And don't think, like Peter, that God doesn't want to be around you. Don't think, like Peter, that other people might not want to be around you. Because you're amazing. That little fella is also amazing. He really is, and he's going to be, oh, I can't even imagine. So, Peter didn't really want to go fishing. He knew that fishing during the day wasn't productive. He was willing to do what Jesus asked, although it was crazy. He knew that being with Jesus was better than his best day. John 14, 12 through 14 says this. And this is Jesus talking. He says, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things because I'm on my way to the Father. I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'm going to do it. And that's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. Whoa. Basically, what that means is trust in me because I know you're afraid. Learn how to step out of your fearful self and begin to embrace Jesus. When you learn how much he loves you, your life is going to change, and you're going to learn it a little bit at a time. There's some times where you're going to go, holy cow, and then there's other times where a month or two will go by, and then you'll look back and go, I didn't notice that. But God's going to do some amazing things if you decide to go fishing with him. If you decide to trust, if you decide to say yes to the love of God. Amen.